You're listening to the inaugural podcast of Tech News Gadget. Stay tuned.
Want to learn the latest in the tech world? Then you have come to the right place. At Tech News Gadget, we will keep you up to date with the latest news.
This morning, live from Macworld, Apple Computer announces its new iPhone cell phone.
Tips.
Now here's what you don't do when skydiving with a BlackBerry.
And gadgets.
The latest addition to the laptop family is this quad-core dual.
Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the latest installment of Tech News Gadget.
Oh man, I forgot how much I love this intro. This intro is made by a good friend of mine years and years back. I mean, at least I'm looking 3 years ago. You remember the inaugural podcast that I started with Tech News Gadget and how fun that was? Okay, well, like 99% of you have no idea. You're like, oh, this is a podcast. What am I doing here? Well, this podcast was, well, how Tech News Gadget all started back in the day. I am your host, Taylor Merrick. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Tech News Gadget headquarters, and this brings me back memories. I love podcasting. You know, it's what got me started. It's what got me hooked. It's what got me interested. I've been like a tech junkie at heart, and this is what I've loved doing, is talking about technology. Now, I'm not going to be talking about it for 3 hours every single day like talk show radio hosts do, or talk about it an hour a week or an hour every other week. I plan on keeping this podcast short and simple, to the point. You know, maybe I'm shooting for 20 minutes as the happy medium. So let's lay some groundwork and rules. I'm ad-libbing this entire thing. So tech news, this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about latest tech news. I'm going to give you the lowdown on, well, really what's going on in the tech world. I'm not going to, you know, talk about 500 tech articles that hit the feed today. I'm going to talk about the most important ones, and the ones that feel most relevant to you, and ones that feel relevant to me that I would be interested. Now, my background is I've always been a tech person. Years ago, I'm looking at like mid-2000s, I was tearing apart computers, learning all about computers, getting into coding, hardcore coding, websites from the ground up, operating systems from the ground up, messing around in Linux, you name it, I've had my hands in it in one way, form, or another. That's really all I'm going to say, and I've always been a lover of tech. Now, I'm not like a certified tech dude who like travels the world and talk to all these people. Nah, I'm just your normal average tech dude, just like you, except maybe a little bit more geeky. Does that work? Okay. And I want to bring an element of humor into it, even though it's just me. I might have guests on the show down the road, but the tech news that I have for today, and we're going to be going over them in order, is, well, to start off, Google launches project to save endangered languages. Now, I'll have a link to all of the articles that I talk about today in show notes. You can find at technewsgadget.net, the podcast proper. But Google has come up with a project to save the world languages that are facing extinction. Now, it's estimated that 3,000 languages are on the verge of extinction by the turn of the century. What Google does is they have launched the Endangered Languages Project, on which they have partnered with the Alliance for Linguistic Diversity. And then they have a website where you can learn all about it, and it's kind of interesting, but what's more interesting is the number of languages that we're losing. And almost all the countries have lost at least one language. It's and the languages so far is the Miami, Illinois language, and other languages, so on and so forth. You know, what kind of cultural impact they're having. Do you feel this is something important to you? Languages that are facing extinction. We're going to have an endangered languages task force out there like, oh, save, I don't know, I know, as soon as I start naming a language, you're going to be like, oh, racist. No. Oh, what's the language I can go for? You know what? Forget it. I'm not even going to try and go there. But Yeah, like, is this something that, you know, he feels that's important to you? For me personally, it could be interesting, just to take a look at it. I wouldn't want to, like, join the cause, because I don't have time to join a cause and more or less, you know, input anything of benefit, I feel. I'd just be like, yeah, okay, it's a problem. So, that's Google launching an endangered language species project. The second piece of tech news we have today is regarding the BlackBerry. The crackberry's still around? Yeah, surprisingly. And it kind of takes me back right to the intro. When I was creating the intro for this podcast, a friend of mine, he's like, oh, what do you want to say? And that was actually one of the jokes that I came up originally in the podcast intro was, now here's what you don't do when skydiving with a BlackBerry. Well, number one, you just don't bring it with you. But anyways, BlackBerry? Yeah, they're still around. Well, get this, their new device isn't going to have a physical keyboard. Dude, man, I'm telling you, from like the 60s, it's all going virtual, dude. It's in the cloud. Yeah, so RIM decided that they're developing a new operating system because they're sick and tired of Apple and Samsung encroaching on their target market, and, you know, they want to, I don't know, pinch the turd off and figure out, okay, maybe we should start doing something different here. Yeah, hello, like, you know, it's funny for, like, big companies to finally figure out down the road, like, oh yeah, we should have been doing this instead of, like, figuring out, like, why isn't this working? And then, like spontaneously combusting and imploding and trying to figure out, okay, well, why'd we suck? Oh, I don't know. Maybe your target audience moved away from you to newer and better and cooler technology. Let's face it, that's what happens with everything. So you either adapt and survive or remain the same and die, right? Okay, so the development for this virtual screen has not gone down well, and many corporate users have claimed that they have stuck with BlackBerry because of the physical keyboard. So now BlackBerry stuck within the rock and hard place, saying, well, you know, the physical keyboard's nice, but everybody's doing virtual, should we go virtual, blah, blah, blah. You know what? My opinion is, I really don't care. I mean, I have a phone, it's an NV Touch, and sure, it has a touch screen. I've had this phone for like 5 years, and I've never had reason to upgrade. Maybe I'll upgrade to the iPhone soon enough, but I have the NV Touch, and it has just a touch screen. It has the touch keyboard, which is cool, but then the cooler aspect of the phone, and one of the reasons why I kind of got the phone, is it has this flip open feature, and I'm actually like looking at it right now, is you're able to flip it open. It has a second screen on the inside, and it has a full QWERTY keyboard inside. So you could type and tap away, and full QWERTY keyboard. Woohoo! Whole lot of fun. Whereas on my iPod Touch here, I'm stuck with the vertical facing keyboard, which is, I don't know, I can't text on that kind of phone. Now, if I wanted to turn it sideways and I could start texting when I'm taking notes, that's great. It works great, but yeah. What are your thoughts on this? Is BlackBerry going for a virtual device a good thing that they should be going for, or should they be staying with the physical keyboard? Are they kind of being adapted out of the entire market entirely, or is there a way that they can keep themselves in a niche without having to? I don't know at this point. So that's all I'm gonna say. The third piece of news we got here is regarding Microsoft Surface, and if you want to try Surface, you need to try it out in a Microsoft store. You want to know why? Well, because it's limiting its distribution to its stores. A Windows had a store? Really? The Windows store, the Microsoft store for Xbox and, I don't know, like, okay, I can totally see, like, copying Apple here. So, the hoopla this week is that the Surface tablet is the end of the PC industry as we know it. Ha ha. You say that about any industry or any product or anything, like, oh, well, mail's dead. Who gets mail here on a regular basis? Come on, raise your hands. I know all of you get mail. Okay, good. Okay, calling people on a phone is dead. Well, how many people have a phone? I solved it right there. Okay, cool. Yeah, so, yeah. What we know so far about Surface is that it's going to be sold through the Microsoft stores and only in the U.S. So if you're outside of the United States, oh well, you'll just have to tough it out. And, well, in terms of how many stores there are of the Microsoft store, there's really only about 20, so good luck finding one. More or less good luck finding one near you. So here's the challenge. In order for the Surface to be a hit, it may have to have a sell-through units shipped that actually sold in the millions per year, according to analysts. So, regardless of whether the Surface is a good design or not, it's not clear whether Microsoft can sell that many. Just getting to them is a problem, obviously. Availability would need to be expanded. And it's not even clear that Microsoft wants to sell millions of the Surface, at least initially. They want distribution, but they don't want it to be super broad, according to an analyst who thinks Microsoft is sensitive about competing too directly with his customers, for example, PC makers. So, what are your thoughts about this? This article is from CNET, and, I mean... I've never really tried the Surface. I've never gone to the Microsoft store in my life. In terms of, like, if you wanted to be a big hit, I'd say you need to have the distribution in place first. Apple did a really good job of that when they sold the iPhone. Problem is that AT&T wasn't ready for it, and they shouldn't have even distributed it through AT&T to begin with. It should have gone through Verizon, which, ta-da, now it is. Finally, I tell ya, I even talked about this on my old podcast, at least like 4 or 5 years ago, regarding Apple should have gone with Verizon, but I was able to talk to a couple of people inside Verizon at the time that all this hoopla was going on about, you know, the iPhone is this new latest and greatest phone. It's really cool and it's really awesome and amazing. Notice it didn't say, like, we're the so-and-so killer. yeah, and so they decided to go for that angle. What am I talking about? The other angle, not the angle of a so-and-so killer, but the angle of, hey, this is a cool product, you should have it. Well, they had the everything set up, but they weren't able to cut a deal with Verizon for one reason or another. Most of it came down to, I guess, the whole exclusivity type of thing. They could see the projected demand for it, and they couldn't. And it could kind of figure that, I don't know if we'd want to hold this. Is this like one-hit wonder, shoot and miss kind of a thing? And then their software or something wasn't up to date. But that's what I was able to hear from Verizon inside what was going on, why they weren't able to cut a deal with Apple at the time, and why, unfortunately, AT&T got stuck with it. And I don't think AT&T was too thrilled with it because it just crashed their entire network in Southern California on day one that the iPhone came out, but I'm already going down a rabbit trail. Anyways, I'll have a link to the Surface article in the show notes, and you can take a look and share your feedback on that as well. Next article we have is about the Google Doodle. How many of you here are familiar with the Google Doodle? I mean, you can't not go to google.com now without seeing a doodle or something of some kind. It's really cool. Well, this one was honoring the British mathematician with a brain game. It was in honor of Alan Turing, who would have turned 100 on Saturday. Now, why is Turing important? Well, without what he did in mathematics and all of that, computers as we know them would not exist. Or at least the trajectory of their development would have been altered or delayed. As the first to map out the digital universe, his work now lies at the root of everything involving computer science. A polymath of the highest order, Turing left a list of achievements stretching far beyond the realm of computer science, wrote Joab Jacobson for IDG News. Now, Turing was around during World War II. He was instrumental in cracking the German Enigma. Let me just say, oh my goodness, I love Enigma. Like, that code was pure brilliance, but the brilliance was in that it was kept secret. The code itself was really hard to decipher. So, I mean, if you gave out, like, oh yeah, this is how the code works, you know, they'd figure out, oh, duh, I just cracked the code. Haha, looking for your secret Enigma code. It wasn't really that much of Enigma. I actually messed around with making ciphers and codes of my own, and I was actually going to make a really, really complex one. Like, I could tell and explain to people how it actually worked, but they never knew, like, how to decode the code. Because, well, they didn't have the key, and the key was in my head and other select people's head, and they knew how to decode it. It was funny. So, what did Turing do? He developed a conceptual computing machine called the Turing machine that would use an infinitely long piece of tape containing a series of symbols. Now, a machine head could read the symbols and add its own, as well as move to different parts of the tape, one symbol at a time. Now, infinite tape didn't exist, so the machine couldn't actually be created, but, you know, his initial concept idea behind that proved invaluable to creating the binary numbers of ones and zeros that we use for today. So, I'll have a link to that. There's also a video of the doodle in action, and you can have fun playing with the cryptic doodles on Google Doodle. I don't know if they have a link to that. I'm looking around here. Yeah, so, and then in terms of the comments, binary representation of numbers and letters were around long before Turing, so that's not the transformative idea. It's his concept of a universal machine. So, that's that. The next article we have is Apple getting all of the attention because of its new 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. Now, why is this important? Well, they kind of just trump the PC guys at their own game. It was something that Dell or HP should have been in. I own a HP computer. It works great for me. I like it. Dell worked okay when I had it. But why is the world obsessing about the newest MacBook Pro and not competing laptops from Hewlett-Packard or Dell? Well, let's just say that Apple has an innate sense of good design. Well, I mean, you have Steve Jobs. He, like, was the brain founder behind all of these ingenious ideas. Like, just the design aspect alone with Apple compared to anything else is like, oh my goodness, this looks gorgeous. Like, I want to eat it. Okay, well, maybe not, you know, physically eat it, because that'd be stupid. But, you know, just the idea of having good design. That was a really key sales kicker for Apple. And what about the Retina MacBook Pro? It's a 15-inch laptop. But none of the competition of Dell with the XPS 15Z and the HP NV15 didn't really compare much to that. And from what I'm seeing here, ooh, they got pictures. Sweet, okay. Well, I have pictures there. Let's see. Anything important here? Well, oh. Apple reinvented the 15-inch laptop, which builds on the Air but adds a display to kill for. Yeah, Retina is a marketing thing, but it's also very real. I willfully cave to Apple's hype in this case. So are you going to seek something comparable from the PC guys? Sony could do a 15-inch Vio Z or Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Carbon, but I'm not holding my breath that they'll set the world on fire. And that's according to the author here. So, that's why. Now, in the app world, we got 7 apps you don't want to miss. Gabby launched this week for the iPhone, and well, Gabby gives users a new way to visualize and interact with Facebook. Now, unlike other apps that just read your feed, Gabby uses a language processor to analyze it, letting you ask specific questions such as, who likes my photos the most, to sort information based on what's important to you. Really, really cool and interesting idea, a twist of an idea, as it were, on, well, what's important to me? That's what Gabby's going after. Who here plays Angry Birds? Yeah, well, unfortunately, I do. The funny story for me is, okay, if Apple people are listening to this, and by Apple people, I mean people who work at Apple, I had this really interesting dilemma one day of, I was waking up and I was checking my iPod, and 2 things were downloading to my iPod, like, being updated, and I'm like, okay, I didn't buy anything, and so I said, okay, what did I get? One of them was Justin Bieber's boyfriend, which I don't listen to Justin Bieber, just plain stupid. And the second one was Angry Birds Space. And I said, okay, I know for sure I didn't purchase Justin Bieber. That was the one red flag. And 2 was, why would I want to pay $1.30 for an app when the apps I have on my iPod Touch are good already? And then I looked and found out, I got an email. And it said, thank you for your purchase, so-and-so. And I'm like, well, that's not my name. Apparently, what had happened is Apple had, like, switched my payment information. Like, my account and login information was the same, but it had switched my name and my contact information and my payment information to some guy out in Virginia. And so, like, technically what he thought he was buying on his own end, I was being, like, sent over on my end, and I didn't have to pay for it. I don't know, it was just stupid. But Angry Birds Seasons came out anyways, and the app updates each season with new boards for the game, this time taking the Berg to Piglantis, where they not only have to battle the pigs in the air, but also the water. So we get a water element. The next app is the Art of Rap, and if you love to rap, well, you can drop a beat, and you can create your own lyrics off of that. Kind of an interesting idea. The next app is Waze, and social GPS and live traffic app Waze is getting a little smarter. It now offers real-time gas prices and fuel discounts in addition to driving directions and traffic information. So now, not only can you check out gas prices near you, or even those that'll be physically on your route, you can also find out whether you're getting a discount for it. Something I never knew about before. Next app is the Martha Stewart Craft Studio. Yeah, she's still around? Well, now she has her own iPad app. And it's only free until July 8th, so if you want it quick, go out and buy it now. But if you don't, well, you just wait until after and then you buy it. But the app lets you create paper craft projects such as cards, scrapbook pages, and invitations, share them with friends, print them out, or have them professionally printed. We have Hotel Tonight is the next one. It's extending its service into Europe, now offering last-minute deals on hotels in London. Unlike other discount booking services, the Android and iPhone app offers deals on just 3 hand-picked hotels each day. Bookings can be made anytime between noon and 2 a.m., allowing users to get deals even after other discount sites have shut their doors for the day. The last one is Tumblr. So Tumblr saw an update. It updates and actually kind of looks a little bit better now. I think I might have to get back into Tumblr. Yeah. So those are the 7 apps you don't want to miss. I'll have a link to that in show notes. Final piece of tech news today is from TechCrunch. I love these guys and their titles. This one is Don't Delete Your Stupidity, Fix It. Facebook rolls out comment editing and edit history. So now, instead of having to go copy, paste, delete, edit, post, delete, repost, spelling check error, fix, well, you'll be able to edit your comments, but users will be able to see the full history of a thread. something that you can do in Google Plus originally, but now something that I guess Facebook's copying over to their end. Yeah, this is... Yeah. This is funny. So, they originally had a time limit that you could edit the comments, but now you can go back to, like, the beginning when you were just, I don't know, drunk off of Mountain Dew and you wanted to tweak it and fix it to be like, okay, you know, my spelling wasn't that bad 10 years ago. I think I've got, oh, Facebook wasn't around 10 years. I'm sorry, 7. There you go. Okay. Everybody's happy. Woohoo. Yes, they're around 7 years ago. And we could update and you couldn't change it. And if you made a mistake, you're like, oh, dang it. Typos. Is this something that's really needed or necessary? I don't know. Share your thoughts with me. And being this is the first daily episode of Tech News Gadget, definitely a lot of fun to do. Do you think I should continue in this format or do something different? I don't know. Let me know. So, I will let you know, though, one thing before I leave is always be sure to check out technewsgadget.net for the latest news and gadget reviews. And if you want to leave your discussion about really anything that was talked about on the show today, you can always go to forum.technewsgadget.net. We have an interesting community there. Fun one to hang out with at that. I have a couple of my authors in there writing and leaving comments and interacting with you guys. Always a good thing, but, you know, doing something a little different from the other tech news sites out there. Trying to bring more of a community. What can we do to help you? How can we interact with you? And, you know, just giving you that much better a service overall. Hey, look at that. I have it at 27 minutes. That's great. Okay, so thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Tech News Gadget. Hope to see you back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.